Where do you want it?
It's right here.
Okay, fine.
This covers quite a range from
okay.
the beginning
All right.
up to present.
All right, get started.
Okay. You ready for it? Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Respondent, Attorney Philip Baskin at 1 Mellon Bank Center, 29th floor, Pittsburgh, PA. Interviewers, Rhea C. Lehman and Florence Joseph, April 29th, 1985.
Yeah, you can pull this up. Okay.
We know from your biographical sketch, which was forwarded to us, Mr. Baskin, just how rich and varied your career has been, and we're interested in discussing it all with you. But for purposes of oral history, we would like to begin at the beginning. Could you tell us something about your family background? Could we start with your grandparents? Where did they come from?
Well, my grandparents came from Europe, of course.
Where in Europe?
Let me start with my parents. I know more about than my grandparents. But my
do you have any information you can give us on your grandparents?
Not right now, no. I can get it for you, I think.
Well, all
but right. Maybe I'll give you a note on that. But my father came from Russia. It was and he came from the part near Poland. It's hard to tell now what geographical unit it was, but I think it was around Minsk and through there. And my mother came from Austria.
What was your father's name?
Samuel. Mm-hmm. And my mother's name was Sadie.
And her maiden name?
Tiger, T-I-G-E-R. Mm-hmm. Whether that was really her name, we've never been able to determine. You know how the immigrants were when they came
yes,
over.
Yes, uh-huh.
And so my mother came over as a very, very young child. And my father wasn't much older, and they settled, believe it or not, in Washington, in Meadowlands, PA. And that's where I was born in 1921.
Did they marry before?
Yes, they were married.
Did you say they were settled?
They settled after they were married in this country. They settled in Meadowlands.
Where were they married? Were they married in this country?
I think they were married probably in New York, as far as I know.
I see. You don't happen to know how they met?
No,
Is
I don't know.
Is it arranged,
really, or? I don't know. I really
I see.
Don't know.
Well, that's a bit of oral history you missed.
Yeah, they, I don't think it was an arranged marriage. I think they met. And
when did they marry? Do you know that?
Well, it was shortly before I was born. I don't have the date.
And you think it was in New York City?
Yes.
And then where did they settle after that?
My brother probably knows more about that. They settled, when I was born, they were in Meadowlands, PA. Had a little store, and that
was your father's occupation?
Well, at that time, yes, and that was in 1921, so they were there, obviously, a year or two before that.
What kind of business was that?
It was just a little grocery store.
Mm-hmm. And how many children were there?
Well, there were three of us, but very shortly after I was born, I guess, less than a year, they moved to New York City, to the East Side, where a lot of, immigrants went. And they had my father's relative. My father had a great number of relatives there. So they moved there. And my father, business was with a horse and wagon delivering baked goods, bread and baked goods. That was what he did. Also, his father, my grandfather on my father's side, was living in New York in Brooklyn at the time.
Oh, so your paternal grandparents were in this country
yes,
then?
Yes, yes. They had come over, too.
I see.
And my his father, my grandfather, delivered eggs.
I see.
With a horse and buggy. He candled them in his basement, because I can remember as a youngster helping him candle eggs, you know, and riding with him occasionally on his delivery. So that I really moved to New York as a baby.
And, were your mother's parents in this country?
Yes. Yeah, they were here too. But there were a number of relatives because, although this seems strange in the old days, her mother was divorced. And, you know, it was very, very,
unusual
in those days for any woman to be divorced, let alone a Jewish mother, you know. She was divorced, so my mother had a number of sisters, both half-sisters and full-sisters. And she had quite a family, at least five sisters, most of whom lived in New York. One, I think, lived in Bayonne, New Jersey, and one lived in Washington, PA.
Was this a pretty close-knit circle?
Yeah.
Paternal and maternal relatives.
Pretty close-knit.
And how many children in your family?
Well, I have two brothers, and they were both born in New York. My brother Jerry, who's 18 months younger than I am, and then Seymour, who's 18 months younger than Jerry.
Oh, you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest. So there were three of us within maybe a three-year period. But they were born in New York.
These brothers, are they in Pittsburgh now?
Yes. Yeah. We've all been in Pittsburgh now for a good many years.
I see. You're associated with one brother, are you? Is one brother an attorney?
No, he was.
Some
years ago.
I see.
We'll get to that later, but he's been in the development business for the last 12, 13
Which brother is that?
Seymour.
And the other brother?
Jerry, he's in real estate management.
Here in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Anything particularly significant about their children as far as the community is concerned?
Their children?
Mm-hmm.
Seymour's children all live out of town now, so that they wouldn't be participating here. Jerry has a son and a daughter, both live here. The son, Stephen, works with him in the real estate business, and his daughter, Karen, is an attorney in town.
I see. Are either of your parents living?
Mother's living.
I see.
My father died when I was 7, and... What had happened was that his mother had died. Of course, she was in those days. They went fairly old in those days, although not today. And he was in the synagogue saying Kaddish for 2 weeks later. And I remember it very well because my mother was waiting for dinner. We were having one of my father's sisters. Her brother's over for dinner, and she was preparing it. He apparently had a stroke or a heart attack in the synagogue, and he died.
He must have been comparatively young.
He was about 33.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Were your grandparents, since they were relatively close by, were they an influence on you in your early years?
Well, a little bit. We were so young, but... I really didn't, we really didn't have much to do, if anything at all, with grandparents on my mother's side. I don't think they were in New York. And so most of the time that we spent with relatives would be on my father's side. And we used to see my grandfather often, my grandmother on my father's side, and of course, my father had a number of brothers and sisters living in New York. I mean, it was a large family at that time.
But
I was born in Meadowlands, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. How did that come about, since the family was...
Well, you'll have to ask my father and mother. But that's where I was born.
Oh, I see. Were you born at home or in a hospital?
Probably at home.
Uh-huh. Can you tell us something about your early years, Mr. Baskin? Where did you live in those years?
Well, I lived in the east side of New York. It's called Mansion Street, which is now occupied by a housing project, you know. But that was very close, just off the East River and just this side of Delancey Street, really right close to the Williamsburg Bridge on the New York side. And as I said, we had, my mother had some sisters living there. There was one particularly that had a store on Houston Street. That was a well-known shopping area then for the, you know, immigrants, and still is. Still a shopping center there. And so we spent quite a bit of time with them, too. It was on my mother's side. But most of our time was with my grandfather's family and my father's brothers and sisters and their children, who we've kept in touch with to this day.
Yes. You know. How long did you live in New York in those early years?
I lived there till I was roughly about 8 or 9, and then we moved to Washington, PA.
What precipitated that move?
Well, I think my mother was finding it difficult.
My father had already
died.
Deceased, yes.
So she had 3 small children, and so she moved to Washington, PA, where she had a sister, Annie, who ran a store, sort of a general grocery store, in Tylerdale, Washington, PA. That was really a great store. She and her husband ran it because there were a lot of ethnic groups who had emigrated and settled in Tylerdale, Washington, a little section of Washington, PA. And so my aunt would speak Polish and Jewish and it must have been
Yiddish,
6 or 7 or 8 languages, just enough, you know, to be able to deal with the customers, many of whom sort of helped support for a while during the Depression days. So, and we lived in a little house in Washington, and my mother had just a little sort of little candy store on the first floor. And then my brothers and I would try to sell candy around office buildings after school or on weekends, you know.
How successful were you?
Well, they used to chase us out of buildings, you know. We were chased out of more buildings in Washington, PA. So I guess we weren't too successful.
So, you were supposed to have a license, I gather.
Well, you know, nobody wants solicitors going through the building. Although we had some people who would buy candy.
Went to school in Washington. Then.
Went to school, grade school, for a few years.
And what do you mean by a few years?
Well, because we moved out of, Jerry and I moved out of Washington, PA at 11, when I was 11 years old. I think that was about 32 or 33. Let's see, 11, yeah, about 32, I guess. And we went to an orphanage, the Main Birth Home for Children in Fairview, PA, which was 13 miles west of Erie.
I see.
And,
I guess your mother was occupied with her.
Sure. And the person who helped, who really arranged for it, was Dave Weiner, who's a very well-known attorney and later a judge in Washington, PA. And he really befriended the family.
You say just you and your one brother went there?
Yes, and then 2 years later, Seymour came up.
I see.
I guess he was at that time. He was. They felt maybe he was a little too young to go. And also, I think my mother wanted to probably have at least one child at home.
What was the name of the orphanage?
B'nai B'rith Home for Children. And
what was your mother still occupied with, his candy store?
Yes, but you know, that brought in practically nothing. Yes. And the fact is, I'm trying to figure out over the years how she did get some support, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think she was left a little money. And
did she do anything else then when you children were placed?
Well, then she got. She started doing work in Carnegie, PA, and you know, manual factory kind of work.
She didn't have an easy time.
No, she didn't.
Well, it's pretty wonderful that she's still alive and can see.
Well, she's
well, you folks have
she's
done.
88 now, and but she has Alzheimer's disease, and she's in a we have her in a nursing home, so she doesn't really remember anything anymore.
So this placement occurred when you were about 11 years old.
Yeah, I was 11. Jerry was about 9 and a half.
I see. In retrospect, was it a reasonably good situation?
Well, considering concerning the fact that it was the Depression years, mm-hmm. considering that we didn't have anything, I suppose we were better off than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. At least I always felt so.
I mean, the orphanage situation, yeah.
Was it? Sure. You know, it all depends how you look at things. I thought it probably was good for us considering all the circumstances, but there are a lot of kids in the home who didn't think those were, depends on how you look at things.
Was the staff adequate?
I thought so.
Were they fairly supportive?
Yeah, we worked. You know, they had girls and boys there, and we took care of the place, and we did the gardening. We had about 4 acres of vegetable and gardening. We had orchards and things, and we canned a lot of our food for the winter. So we kept busy. Mm. We kept very busy, and we went to school in the public school in the town of Fairview, which was a small town, which was a good experience because we mixed with non-Jewish people.
This was, of course, a Jewish home.
Yeah, it was a Jewish home.
How did you feel about the situation at the time? I mean, the placement?
I don't think I thought much about it.
You had any feelings about it? Did you feel it had any influence in later years?
No question it did.
In what way?
Well, it's not a normal family life, so you don't have the same family relationships that you do when you're growing up with it.
It was fortunate you had your brother.
Yeah, and it molds some of your habits and ways of thinking, of course. But overall, I'd say, as I said, considering all the circumstances, we may have been more fortunate than a lot of people, a lot of children, I don't know.
In what positive way do you think it molded some of you?
Well, we learned how to work, for one thing. I learned how to work. I learned how to get along with people, all kinds of people.
That's pretty positive.
Yeah, both in the home and outside the school, because we participated in everything in the school, high school sports and plays. We really had a very good background in dealing with people, learning how to live with them, although we, of course, knew we were a little different than the people in the town.
Did you get religious training there?
Yes, at the home.
Bar mitzvah party?
Yes, we had our own little temple in the home. We were reformed.
I see.
It was reformed. And we ran our own services. The superintendent of the home, who was a very good friend, with whom we became very good friends, he and I, and Mr. Fall, Garson Fall, and he conducted the services, and we would participate. So we ran our own services. But I was bar mitzvah neri at that time. At the Rabbi Kirk was the rabbi. He was one of the first of the leading Reform rabbis in the country. Very well known. And we were bar mitzvah there.
You say the community, the school was predominantly Gentile.
Well, it was all Gentile, except for us.
I see.
But, of course, we were an important segment of the schools, too, because there were about anywhere from 40 to 50 kids, girls and boys, going to grade school and high school there, and they were small schools. In fact, the grade school used to have 2 classes in 1 room. That's the way we were taught then, and the high school The class I was in was the largest class that they ever had in the high school. We were 45 members going in. 30.
What was the population of the home? Was it that large?
The home was about 40 to 50. At one time it was 60, but not. That was before I came in.
I see. Coming into the school, which was predominantly non-Jewish, did you experience any anti-Semitism?
No, none.
That's pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we had extremely good relationships in the town. There was more friction between the Protestants and the Catholics in the town than there were between the Gentiles and the Jews. Yeah.
How long did you stay in the home?
I was there 6 years. Jerry was there, I guess, 8. And Seymour, maybe 9. You know, we stayed till we graduated high school.
You went to elementary school, part in New York and part there?
Partly in New York, partly in Washington, PA, and then partly in Fairview. It's very interesting how I got through school. I started school early. I started in New York before I was 6, which you weren't supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But my mother got me in. She
she thought you were gifted.
Well, she wanted to get rid of us, I guess. Probably wanted to get me in school as soon as possible. So she sort of snuck me in. And then when I went to Fairview, I picked up another half year. So when I graduated, I was about 16, I guess, high school.
I see.
So I was always the smallest and the youngest kid in my class, which was not always very good.
But you held your own.
Well, yeah, but it's not...
It's not easy.
It's not a way to... I think it's not good for kids to start too early and be... always younger than most of the kids, because there's a big difference between children, for example, 14 and 12, or 16 or 14.
I mean, academically, academically, but socially.
No, socially, yes. Mm. Although, as I said, we were leaders in the school in each class, the editors of the yearly yearbook, officers of the class, we participated in the plays and the varsity sports, so we didn't have any problem in school. It was a great school for people being together of such diverse backgrounds and having no problems. Really.
That sounds pretty ideal today.
Yeah, it's funny, they were ahead of their times, that little school. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the only thing we missed, of course, was the kind of social interaction, like on dating and so forth. We rarely went out, maybe to dances at the school. But we didn't have much dating, you know. We didn't have much money, and we didn't really have people to date. So in that sense, I suppose we had a very sort of backward kind of education.
Educationally, was it a good experience?
Oh yeah, on a formal education,
yes,
and learning live with people and everything else was good, but the social interaction that you get growing up, you know, dating and so forth, you know, we just didn't have much of that.
Well, you were limited on that.
Yeah.
Were the teachers, any special teachers that you recall?
We had very good teachers, really nice teachers. It was, you know, country schools in those days were very, very nice. There was a good relationship between the teachers and the students. The classes were very small, and everybody knew everybody. It was a much different kind of relationship than you have in schools today.
The discipline problem was considerably different.
Well, it was good discipline. We got a lot of, you learned a lot of discipline at the home because... Mm-hmm. The older kids were always in charge, and if you stepped out of line, you're liable to get just smacked down or something by one of the older kids. I mean, there was no such thing as worrying about, you know, bringing them before some board or something. We had our own methods of dealing with each other, and so you learned.
They were effective.
They were effective, and I know when I was going to school, both in Washington and in in Fairview in grade school, I must have been paddled 2 or 3 times a week for something or other. I was always in a little bit of mischief, so it never bothered me. You know, I don't think it bothered me. And
did it bother your mother if she knew about it?
I wouldn't tell her because she'd have hit me again.
The teacher was always right in those days.
Listen, if I'd have told her, she'd have just whacked me again. So
paddled in this school, though, right?
Where?
In this Fairview.
Well, the boys took care of each other. Yeah. I mean, you stepped out of line, you were liable to get knocked down until you learned how to behave yourself. When I was about 14, I sort of supervised the boys, which was a little bit incongruous because at 14 I was very small, and for me to be ordering around kids who were then 16, you know, it seemed a little out of place, but it worked. So.
What were the health services like in the community then? Was medical care adequate, would you say?
Well, we were very fortunate, I don't think. We never had a child in a home die, or either an accident or for any other reason. We had a little infirmary at the home, we used the Erie hospitals, you know, for operations or serious matters. And we were very fortunate. And, of course, we ate in a fairly healthy way. You know, the diet was pretty good. And you had to eat what was there. I mean, if you didn't eat what was there, you didn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we were up early every day and worked. And I'd say it was a very healthy group. At least physically. Now we had a lot of psychological problems with kids.
How did they deal with them?
Well, you know, as best we could. But, you know, you had some children there, some who shouldn't have been there. They were retarded. You had retarded children. You had people from broken families, kids with a lot of psychological problems and emotional problems. Well, we dealt with them the best we knew how. Mostly we dealt with them with ourselves.
You didn't resort to psychiatric counseling in those days?
No, there wasn't much psychiatric counseling.
So you were there then through adolescent years, actually?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And as you say, your social activity was rather limited.
We'd go to school. We'd walk to school in the morning. It was about a mile. Then we'd walk back for lunch and walk back to school and come back again. And in the winter, we did that summer and winter. And if we went swimming at the beach at the lake, which is about 3 miles away, a lot of times we just ran down and ran back. And that's the way those are the things you did and you learned to do. So it, in many ways, it was helpful, teaching you self-discipline.
When did you come to Pittsburgh, Mr. Baskin?
I guess really after I got out of the home. I went to New York briefly and even entered City College, I think, in New York for a few weeks, but I didn't like it, so I left. Came back to Washington and got into the University of Pittsburgh. And Dave Weiner helped me get a senatorial scholarship. I think at that time it was $250 a year. And mm-hmm. So I worked, between that little scholarship and working full time, I was able to get myself through school. She was in Carnegie at the time, working there, and she had some relatives in Carnegie. She had a lot of relatives in Canonsburg, Carnegie, Washington. And then about my third year in college, I guess, she came to Pittsburgh and we took an apartment.
Excuse me, you went to Pitt?
Pitt, yeah. And we lived in this apartment, rented a couple rooms out to dental students and so forth. Before that, I had just roomed. I had a room in a private house. Now, it's very interesting, because I ate three meals a day out at 75 cents a day. Would you believe that? And I was, well, I mean, I ate pretty good. But that's the difference
in those days. So you entered the pit as a freshman then?
Uh-huh.
I see. And your major as an undergraduate?
I, history and political science.
I see. When did your interest in law surface?
I never really had any interest in law.
You didn't?
No. What happened was after, during my last year in college, I enrolled in the aviation cadets, U.S. Air Force. And I went into the Air Force and then overseas. And
I read that in your biography.
Yeah.
I do want to deal with that.
Well, and after I came back, went to work at May Stern. Well, I'd been working at May Stern's when I left the home, and Mr. Fall, by the way, helped me get the job. And Harry Epstein, who was at May Stern then, gave me the kind of job where I crammed all my courses at Pitt in the mornings, and then I worked from about 1 to 9 at the store.
And that was how you financed yourself in addition to the scholarship?
Right.
I see.
And then...
And